Married with Channels podcast, a podcast with a married couple talking movies and TV shows.
Yep.
My name is Moose.
I'm Jody.
We're the married couple. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. Getting hungry.
Oh, yeah.
What's it been? It's been like 2 seconds since we talked. So we got 3 shows this week. One of them has been canceled already, which is a bummer.
Bummer.
We'll get to that in a second. Let's start off with one of our favorites, Tokyo Vice Season
2.
Tokyo Vice Season 2. Let's see. It's on Max. It's an HBO show. It's on Max, blah, 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 blah. But I think we've already kind of run through like the why this show is so good the last time we talked about it.
Yeah.
And season 2 continues that, where we have us some pretty darn good stuff again with the Tozawa story.
Yeah.
Coming to a close. Tozawa, the Yakuza boss leader who kind of went outside the usual Yakuza thing, tried to consolidate
code,
power.
Right? Like they all kind of have an agreement, right?
Yeah. There's like a normal way of doing things in the Yakuza, you know, there's this boss for this clan, this boss for that clan, and they all kind of, and it's interesting. I've heard a couple interviews about Yakuza and how it operates. It's not nearly what it used to be, I guess.
Sure.
But this show is set in the, I want to say late 90s.
Yeah, it's totally 90s. You can tell by the cell phones and everyone is smoking.
Yeah.
Like everyone.
A lot of smoking going on.
Yeah.
And season 2 delivers again. I don't think there was any major problems for me in season 2. Every episode I look forward to watching, every episode was pretty much good.
Yeah.
And the only problem I have with season 2, and it's minor, but it's almost like kind of sad face, is they really wrapped it up. Like, it had a very, very obvious conclusion. You know, they didn't like open up a new storyline that will be addressed in the next season. It was very much like the Tozawa storyline is done. He's dead. And the main detective is retired. And Jake is moving on with his newspaper career. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. So, yeah, where do you go from here? I don't quite know what they'll do, but they kind of alluded to that Officer Katagiri.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That he probably couldn't really walk away from it and retire, you know?
Yeah, that was the implication when they did the whole like keep your mind still for 10 seconds thing.
Yeah.
And he couldn't do it. The old seasoned veteran who said, Jake, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And then he did it and he's like, shit, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So that implies that he's still got some little itch in him to, you know, pursue justice. But we saw some fractures in relationships this season.
Yeah.
Like Jake and his homies in the newspaper crew.
Yeah, his buddies who are trying to kind of come up in the newspaper world with him, you know, kind of trying to get that big breaking story too. And yeah.
Yeah. So here's a scene where one of his buds printed a, and it's the guy, I can't remember his name, but he's the guy who does baking on the side. He ran a story that involved Samantha.
Tintin.
Yeah. Jake's source. Yeah. Tintin is the character. Samantha, Jake's, you know, trusted source, and it doesn't paint her in a good light. And Jake took issue with that.
Jake, come join the celebration.
What the fuck is this?
What the fuck is what?
This sensationalistic bullshit.
Don't get scared.
Stay out of this. You had no right to bring her into this.
What's going on?
You approved this?
She is
the story.
No, she's not!
Kuihira is right. Your friendship with the subject is irrelevant.
Her name is Samantha. And you should have checked with me.
I checked my facts. Your friend is no saint. And everyone seems to know it, but you...
Boy, Jake!
Jake, control yourself.
My friend is not the fucking...
Ooh. I need some subtitles to read for that clip.
I know. Well, it's tough to get audio from. You're just going to have to...
Yeah. No,
we get the gist of it. He's upset with Tintin and, you know, that's
well,
how you...
And I just want to mention that for viewers, you will be reading a lot of subtitles for this series, but it's well worth it. It's so, so good. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
An interesting plot line's developed where Jake gets romantically involved with Tozawa's mistress.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have... Talk about
playing with fire. Like,
I know, right?
Like, wow. Are you... Like... And it's funny because... Also in this season, Jake and Samantha kind of bonded over that. Like, what are we doing? We keep like messing up our lives, you know, like, and yeah, that was kind of a crazy element to this story.
For sure.
Yeah.
No. And it was the interesting plot line involving Tozawa's wife, who apparently was the big reason he got to where he is.
Like, yeah.
Her family's wealthy, and she fell in love with him back in the day when he was just essentially like a street thug. And I think I called it halfway through the season where I'm like, she's going to be the one that puts essentially puts Tozawa down.
Yeah.
You know, and but for most part, she was, with some help from other people. But interesting plot lines, and it all services to the main story.
Yeah.
There was some moments where I'm like, what? And I think you were too.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, when he did fly back home for his dad's birthday.
Yeah.
And Katagiri-san called him to say, like, you need to come back because only you can expose whatever it was.
Yeah.
You and I are both like, he doesn't need to come back for that.
I know, right?
Yeah. So that was a little and I thought the girl who played the mistress that Jake was dating, like, she wasn't that good of an actress. Not a major, you know, qualm, but
sure,
you know, it's minor. Like we've said many times, Tokyo Vice is such a good show that, you know, it's almost like, who cares?
Yeah, agree. There were a couple of times that Saito, it was kind of not his best acting too, like,
yeah,
just a couple scenes. And like you said, like, overall it's so good that you kind of overlook that a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. When you have a good story and everything else is in place, you're willing to look over a couple little, you know, blemishes, shall we say.
Sure.
You know who I thought was really good was, and it came to a great conclusion, was the he came on board. He came out of prison, and he was the second in command to the Oyaban, which is essentially the boss.
Yeah,
I think Hayama was his name.
Sure.
Anyway, he started throwing his weight around after the main Oyaban got killed.
Yeah,
and eventually they rallied around. The troops rallied around behind Sato. Especially in the bathhouse,
when yeah,
it was ultimately Hayama's end. So that was cool.
That was interesting.
I mean, it's a good show. Like, you got some intrigue, you got some action, you got some just almost like political games.
And kind of family relationships,
yeah,
too. You
sure.
know,
a little
like
bit of that
Saito
going on.
Was trying to get his brother out of that life, away from it, you know.
Yeah.
There's complication with Jake and his family. And
right.
Even Katagiri and his children and wife, you know, he's still pursuing this, even though, you know, the Yakuza has made threats against his family. And
yeah. So,
anyway,
I just hope that they bring it back for season three. I feel like there's still plenty of stuff you could do.
Yeah. If, you know, as long as you keep executing that well. And
right.
So far, so good. So, yeah, bring it back.
Yep. Tokyo Vice Season 2.
Yeah.
Definitely a show you should check out on HBO and or Max.
You got it.
Anything else there, Jody?
No, that one's good.
Moving on to death and other details. We've been wanting to talk about this for a while.
Yes.
And sadly, this is the one that was not renewed for a second season. And for those who don't know, Death and Other Details, Mandy Patinkin is kind of your main star. You had some other recognizable faces here and there. But basically, it's like Agatha Christie on a boat. And it had some quirkiness about its main characters that were endearing and a little different of a... It was almost like an... You know, in the Agatha Christie, you have the Poirot characters. Or Columbo, you have Columbo, where they're the main detective. This one, it was more like you had the main detective, but he was almost like shepherding and mentoring another person to help solve the case.
Yes. Also, it was a little bit different than some of those shows because it wasn't just following that them through the story and the mystery. Mm-hmm. It kind of follows every character and their story surrounding this mystery.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
You got into some of the other characters there, mm-hmm. and it was very much, some twists, some turns here and there.
Yes.
Basically, the bottom line is there was this, this cruise ship that was chartered by this billionaire. And they get on board and all these people are invited. And also one of the invitees is the main detective guy, the private detective played by Mandy Patinkin. And then all of a sudden somebody on board is murdered. And the whole premise is we got to find out who killed him. But it then turns into this other thing, how there's this ominous figure that's kind of pulling the strings on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like a very elaborate run blackmail crime syndicate, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's this one head figure and has, you know, eyes and goons everywhere.
Yeah.
To essentially blackmail people, you know, and it's almost, there's some other issues in this show too, because he kind of does it as like a moral judgment, like, well, what these people did was wrong, so they're going to get blackmailed, you know?
Yeah, and you have some twists, like I said, you have some interesting character arcs, and there's a, I don't want to give anything away, but there's a flashback or two involving one of our main characters, and the person she was dealing with just didn't look right.
Yes.
It just looked off.
Yes.
And after you view the whole season, you're like, oh, okay. And that's where I'll leave that.
Yes.
But, some interesting... And you had some corporate malfeasance, some corporate espionage type of stuff going on.
Some corruption
and
indulgence of, you know, kind of a statement of haves and have nots, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like Death and Other Details because I felt it was an interesting take on the whodunit type of thing.
Absolutely. I felt like it was interesting. It was a fresh way of doing that.
Yeah. And I like that it was on a cruise ship that provides almost like a confined space where people can't, you know, leave.
Yeah.
And I feel like some of the exterior shots were obviously CGI and a little off-putting, but overall a good show. And it had a very classic feel about it, very nostalgic feel. It's set in modern times, but the guy who owns the boat says he went out of his way to, you know, refinish and retrofit and get all the classic accoutrements in there. And that comes through in the presentation, the production design of the show, I think.
Cool.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we won't get any more because Death and Other Details was not renewed for season 2.
Sorry. But, I mean... This is still a good one to watch, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And that's why I don't want to spoil anything from the show because it's on Hulu. And it's still there. You can watch it. I think we both recommend people go check it out.
Yeah.
You know, a little whodunit never does anybody. There's a reason why whodunits have been around for like ever.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think, makes you want to solve it. Death and Other Details. Go check it out on Hulu. Anything else there?
Nope.
All right. Moving on to an Apple TV Plus show called Manhunt, which is about the hunt for the assassin of our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth. And we should preface this by saying we're maybe two or three episodes into it, but it's a, what are you doing there? You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. I was looking it up.
Yeah, Manhunt, very much an interesting show. Like, it's a period show, but it's also kind of like a, not a whodunit, because we know who did it, but like a chase show, a thriller in a way. Is that fair?
Yeah, I kind of viewed it as it's a historical event, and you're right, we already know who done it, but it kind of feels like a profiler show. You know, like some of the other shows we've watched that kind of deal with like FBI profiling. It almost kind of feels like that, and but set in a period.
Yeah.
A long time ago. So.
And I know this is based on a book of the same name. What I don't know is how true to real life it is.
Sure.
Like, for instance, the guy leading the hunt for John Wilkes Booth is the Secretary of War, which is not usually in the purview of the Secretary of War. But, you know, these are extenuating circumstances, so maybe it is.
Maybe.
Then.
I mean, you didn't have the large agencies that we do now to, you know, solve crimes. Mm-hmm. You know, the FBI didn't exist. The, you know, we didn't have Central Intelligence Agency,
right.
You know, we didn't have those things back then. So maybe that is exactly who would do that. I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's, and there's parables there with the show, with our current situation. You know, you have people who are very much divided, a nation divided. You know, this is right at the end of the Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are still anti, you know, union. You have people in the union who are, you know, Southern sympathizers and helping. It's interesting, like you see people helping John Wilkes Booth, you know,
yeah.
There's a doctor that helps him with his broken leg. And
yeah,
then you have kind of discussions about slavery and, you know, but it's a fascinating show. And, you know, as a kind of a history geek, it's cool to see this kind of play out, you know?
Yeah. But, and I knew about this history and I knew that it was John Wilkes Booth, but I didn't know the full story. Like, what were his motivations? How did that happen? I don't know if, you know, it's kind of something that, if this is kind of true to how it went, like, well, this is fascinating because it's kind of, yeah, politically charged, motivated, you know?
Yeah. And you're learning new stuff here. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you didn't know that John Wilkes Booth was an actor.
No,
yeah.
I did not know that.
Well,
I knew it happened at a play, but I did not know that he was able to do that because he infiltrated that world as an insider, you know?
Yeah. So. And what I didn't know is apparently he was a well-known actor.
Right?
Based on the show, there's a couple moments where like, you mean the John Wilkes Booth? Like,
yes.
Almost like he's the Brad Pitt of his day.
Right? Like, doesn't he get recognized too? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And even like, there's this one scene where he's trying to cross a bridge and the bridge is closed and it's being manned by Union soldiers.
And he pulls the, don't you know who
he
I
basically,
am?
Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, you're John Wilkes Booth? Oh, my wife loves you or something like that.
Yep.
Like, okay. John Wilkes Booth. He was, you know, if there was paparazzi back in the day, he'd probably have some following him around.
Yeah, on their horses.
Here's a scene from Manhunt. This is from an episode we haven't watched yet, but...
Gentlemen, listen here. I am tasking you with the capture of John Wilkes Booth and his accomplice, David Harold. We now have a map of their secret line. Search every secret line address, every home, every tavern, every chicken coop between here and Richmond. Good luck. Godspeed.
Yeah. So that was the Edwin Stanton, the Secretary of War, again, leading the charge to find John Wilkes Booth and apprehend Lincoln's assassin.
He's pretty good in this role.
Tobias, what's his name?
Menzies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's British.
Hmm.
That's always kind of a little...
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, born in London. Yeah, he played Prince Philip in your show.
Yes.
The Crown.
Yes.
Yeah, so Manhunt on Apple TV Plus. I'm trying to think, like, if you're a history buff, if you're not a history buff, would you care about this? What do you think?
I mean, yes. Yeah. I mean, people are kind of intrigued anytime a president gets shot and the story about that. So, yeah. And I think, you know, history is never a bad thing to watch and learn about. You know, I think I said this like when we were watching this, like this country was built and founded on people doing some horrific things to other people.
Yeah.
And, like, the more we can have that brought to light and, you know, the better off I think societies can be. You got to learn and grow from your history. So,
yeah.
You know,
no, I
a civil
I
war happened for a reason. So,
I agree. But yeah. I wonder if the whole, if somebody is not interested in history,
yeah,
would they care about this show? Like, is there enough Manhunt? Is there enough, like, chasing?
Yeah, because, like I said in the beginning, it feels like a profiling, you know, whodunit and got to go catch the bad guy. And how is he going to get caught? You know, he seems to have this whole network of people helping him. So there's mystery and intrigue and kind of some suspense there, you know?
Yeah, so, agreed.
I think so. Yes. Yeah,
I think so, too. I think the fact that it is such a pivotal moment in our nation's history adds another layer to it that I think is intriguing.
Yes. You know?
But yeah, I think people should check out Manhunt on Apple TV Plus. Historically, I don't know how accurate it is, so I'm assuming it is. But even if it's not, it's a good ride.
Maybe
good
we show. Should find a library book and find out or. I don't know. Go on the internet.
I'll let TV teach me.
You'll let TV teach you history. Cool. Yes. All right.
I think that's going to do it for us. So let's wrap it up. On the Married with Channels podcast, married couple talking TV shows and movies. Please give us a subscription. Subscribe to us. Review episodes. That always helps out. Give us a good rating. All that business.
Share, tell your friends.
Share and tell your friends. We're on Twitter at Married W Chans, 2 N's. And until next time, I'm Moose.
And I'm Jody.
We'll see ya.
Bye.